Hi everybody and welcome to the Mental Toughness and Body Show. My name is Rob Evans and I'm your transformation coach and health strategist. You can hear I'm in the mobile studio. So a couple of days ago I discussed the fact that I was heading into the city to be interviewed by Channel 9. Well, this is the post Channel 9 interview. And I want to talk about bravery and perhaps what's your definition of bravery, because today I was told I was very brave, and the interviewer and the cameraman said that, you know, what the content that I delivered was just so good and I did such a good job on such a painful topic, and just how brave I was and articulate in being able to just look down the camera and articulate so well what was going on for my daughter during the pandemic, pre, post, during, and ultimately what caused her demise. And it's an emotional journey, as you can imagine. I mean, I was talking about in the previous session about how I don't go down the well of emotion because it's just so deep. And today I had to do that. And it was emotional, and it was emotional on camera. Now the whole world will see it. But I really don't care, because it is a part of the journey. And maybe in some part, I'm only thinking about this now, maybe some part of it is about therapy for me as well. I don't know. The biggest challenge is to try and articulate everything that's happening around a two-year period, which involves so much pain, so many different people, and so many different changes in my daughter and levels and learning and frustration and blame and all that kind of stuff. How do you articulate that in a way that gets the story across and without incriminating me in lawsuits and that type of stuff? It's difficult, but I feel like I did a good job, and I'm happy with that. So let's talk about bravery. I mean, and to me, I don't feel brave, and I said that to them. I said, look, a number of people have said, "Oh, you're so brave for talking about this," and that has come from parents and kids that have suffered and recovered and still suffering, because there is so much judgment with this illness and any type of mental illness, where people say, well, if your kid is like this, what role did you play? You know, what have you been doing? You've caused this to happen, because we live in a judgmental society, and if you cannot solve what a problem is in the normal way, then people start to not want to take ownership or accountability or have to think differently, and it's much easier to just cast blame on someone else and say, well, clearly it's your fault, because, you know, you work in the health and fitness industry, so you're having conversations about calorie restriction and exercise and doing all this and body shaming and all that kind of stuff. And that is a complete assumption from people about the way that I work with people. And you can't just assume without having conversations and getting to know somebody. And that's certainly what happened in my daughter's case and my case. And so it doesn't feel brave to me. It just feels like, well, let me go back a step. What I'm learning from parents is that they haven't spoken out because they didn't want to be judged. Because everything that I'm talking about, they said, yeah, they feel that too. And because a lot of people don't have the mental toughness and resilience that I do, it's hard enough getting that judgment and blame from the professionals that are dealing with it with your daughter or son. If I now go public with this, now I'm going to get people saying, yeah, you did play a role in this. Yeah, that is your fault. Yeah, you did do that. So I get it. Why, you're going through enough as it is. Why do you now want to get public humiliation or attention for something that has claimed your daughter or son and taken so much away from you? So I get it. But the way that I look at it is like this. I feel like it's my daughter communicating through me. I feel like she is the one that I'm doing this for. She's telling me, she's driving me to keep conversations going so we end this insidious illness for the rest of humanity. You know, it should not exist. We need to come up with better conversations, better solutions. We need to keep doing that. And I feel like just with the conversations that I've had, I've made a difference. And Liv has made that difference. Like, we know that just by what's happened with Liv, the federal government put in an extra $50 million of funding. Now, unfortunately, it went to research, but it's an extra $50 million of funding just because of her. There's a dog therapy program that once didn't exist that now does exist in the ward where she spent most of her time over the last 2 years. And boy, I just wish it could have happened while she was there. We've raised money to get a dog therapy program in place at another hospital that works in conjunction with Monash in their outpatient program. That launched just like 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. And I get feedback each week from the people saying that this is what the dog therapy person, the dog therapy did for this particular patient that came in today. And it's like, wow, that's special. Like reaching out to all the different federal politicians and the different media conversations that are happening. It's involving me having conversations and painful ones, and it's taking time. And I'm cutting back drastically in that time now, but it's leading to more conversations. It's leading to things like what I just went to today. It's like a 4-part docuseries about the pandemic, and eating disorders is a key part of that. The Prime Minister of Australia has written to me in response to my letter to him to get funding for this in-home program. And what that has fundamentally led to is him referring to the Federal Health Minister, me consistently reaching out to the Federal Health Minister, me reaching out to federal and state MPs about this issue, and them reaching out to the Federal Health Minister, and then him reaching back to me and saying, essentially, here's a meeting. And I'm presenting for 10 minutes to the Federal Health Minister's team in a couple of weeks' time, all about getting funding for this program and why we need funding for this program. That's why I'm doing it. And I'm confident that we will get the funding for it, whether it's from this meeting or it's like it's planting the seeds as to, you put me in front of the right people, I will tell you about the pain. I will express why this program is essential. And if these people have children, they will get it. And it's like, man, put yourself, and guess what I'll be saying to them? I say, just for a moment, put yourself in my shoes where you have a child that's beautiful and has the world at their feet, and something just happens in their world that just makes them question the way that they look, the way that they feel, and they think the only way that they can take the control back in their life is by having an eating disorder. And now all of a sudden your whole family is thrust into this thing called eating disorders that you have absolutely no idea about. Imagine if you had the support coming into your home multiple times a day to show you, support you, help give you more information about your child. Imagine if we could get some of this support happening earlier to keep people out of hospital altogether. Help crack the code. Help just come from a zero-based thinking, and let's create solutions from the ground up with this. Because I do think that this is just part of the solution. It's so multi-pronged. If you're going to attack a problem, you've got to come at so many different levels, right? It's a mental health illness. So it's not just food, right? There's got to be other things that come to play with this. Medication might be a part of it. Counseling is definitely a part of it. A diagnosis of other issues, like for Liv, it was like she had celiac disease, and we discovered that she had ASD as well. Getting the kids to understand what these things mean for them, help them understand themselves better and better, and then that can help them get through the eating disorders. Let's face it, if you just know that you're different, you feel different, you're treated differently, I think back to me, I didn't like the social situations. I mean, maybe I'm on the spectrum, and maybe Liv gets it from me, I don't know. But I know that I felt different, and I felt like I was always the round peg in the square hole, just like Liv did. Maybe if I had have had the tools back then, I would have understood that, well, it's okay to be different. I just treated myself as being a freak, and that I was just different, and people used to, you know, bully me and treat me differently because I was different. But if you have that information about yourself and you say, well, do you know what? It's okay to be like that. And it's only really since connecting with my coach 6 years ago that I've really understood that, well, do you know what? There are other people out there like you that just like to work. They don't like to go on holidays, and you like to do other things. You don't like to socialize. You don't like to go out and do these things because you see it as a waste of time. You're not great socializing or whatever in big groups, but you're good on stage. You can be good one-on-one and all that kind of stuff. You can be a great coach, but you just don't enjoy the other things. Like, I'm not a blokey bloke. I mean, I used to judge myself harshly for not wanting to go and socialize with people, like go to the footy and drink, or go out and drink or party or whatever. I was like, that's just not me. I don't enjoy that. Is that wrong? And people used to say it was wrong. And I used to say, therefore, it's wrong. But it's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's just that I think about things differently. And so did Liv. And if we had have had this information about her earlier, then it would have been better. I am sure. So I'm not going to stop, and I don't feel brave. It just feels like a responsibility. And even though her mum can't do it because, you know, she's too emotional about it, it's just like me having to take Liv to hospital to ED each time. You can go back and listen for, you know, 2 years, 2.5 years ago, where you can hear me talk about all the times that Liv's in the ambulance in front of me, behind me, whatever. And I'm going to the hospital with her, the screaming, the police, the ambulance, all of those things. And how I just thought about things differently, but how I had to do all the work. And that's okay, because I was going to do whatever was required to save her and help her get the solutions that that she needed. But I fell short. I fell short of it all. Not through lack of trying. So it doesn't feel brave. It just feels like that's what I'm here to do. And, you know, you don't stop. You just keep going. And I feel like it's a responsibility. Having said that about not stopping, I think it's important for me. I think I've spoken about this before, but to step away so that I can start to refocus on me and do the things that are important to me. And I'll be available for, if media wants to comment, maybe media want to do things like today, I will be there, but I'm not actively going to pursue these things. I'm confident that the work that I'm doing in what I've done and what I'm doing now will get the funding, but it's time for me to say, right, yep, I'm here, but, you know, it's up to you guys to run with this now. I need to work on me and the growth of me and the best version of me. And yet the sadness will always be there, and my daughter will always be with me. But it's time. It's been time. I made that decision at the end of last year. And ironically, since I made that decision, the newspapers have reached out to me, as well as obviously the media, to the television today, for today. And I'll keep doing that. At some point through the grief, the sorrow, the pain, you've got to look after you. You've got to come back to you. I refuse to live in sorrow. I have just resolved in myself that I'm going to live my best life, knowing that that's what Liv would want me to do, and I'm going to use her legacy to drive me to be the best version of me and celebrate the fact that she's where she wants to be. She's not suffering. She's no longer in pain. And I come up with the meaning that she's doing whatever it is that she wants. She's playing with all the puppies. She's out in nature. She's loving what she's doing. She's doing her her cheerleading, she's loving life, she's touring the world, she's seeing what she wants to see, and she's just so happy. And I want to live my happy life here, knowing that she can see me. I can only see her in my mind's eye, and I can feel her in my heart. But knowing that she's watching me, and that I want to watch her being my cheerleader for me, saying, "Go, Dad. You're doing great work here. Thank you for doing that, Dad. I'm so proud of you, Dad. Keep going, Dad, and keep bringing out the best version of you, because I know how important it is for you to keep going, and I don't want you to be sad about me, because just know that I'm where I want to be." And depending on your belief, you're either going to say, "What a big load of baloney." I don't know what baloney is, but a big load of that. Or you say, "What a beautiful way to be able to move forward with all of this." So I've still got a long life to live. And I'll be with her again one day. But in the meantime, I want to create a lot of experiences and stories so that we can sit around or fly around, whatever we do next, and just have so much fun telling her about everything that I've been doing. Because I'm assuming that she can't see everything, and she's off doing her thing, and so I've got a lot of stories that I need to tell her about. So that's my approach to it. And if you want to take a leaf out of my philosophies to live it for you, then please do. Please do. And on that note, I am out for today. I've been signing off these last few podcasts saying, look, if you've got loved ones in your life, whether they're children or just, you know, your partner, just give them an extra squeeze. Hold them for a little bit longer. Tell them what they mean to you. And you just don't know when it can just change in a, you know, flick of the fingers. You just don't know. Be grateful. Bring out the best version of you. Keep pushing for the best version of you. Live your best life. Don't not take opportunities. Say yes more. Say no where it's appropriate. And just keep bringing the best version of you. Just keep doing it, because you've got a lot of greatness that you can bring into this world. And I think about my little Liv, who thought she was worthless and ugly, and not one person that I have spoken with that knew her or has been a journalist can see that at all. And the amount of greatness that she brought to my life, her sister's life, her mum's life, and to the world, it's just that she couldn't see it. And what she's doing now, like, imagine, as part of your legacy, $50 million to help solve the problem that killed you. Like, wow. Like, wow. So, you know, you've got it within you. Even if you don't believe it right now, trust me, you've got it within you. Take care, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow.